The second time, later in the night, was even more feverish than the first. We were in bed by then, and I had no clothing to protect me from her biting and raking nails. I protested, but it was like talking to a madwoman. She even began to leather me with something hard and heavy, a hairbrush, I believe, and by the time she'd stopped writhing and moaning, I felt as though I'd been coupling with a roll of barbed wire. I was bruised, scratched, bitten, and stabbed from neck to backside. In between, she was a different creature, gay, talkative, witty, and of a gentleness to match her voice and looks. I learned that she was Marie Elizabeth Rosanna James, no less, the wife of a fellow officer who was conveniently out of town on garrison duty. Like myself, she was recently returned from India, where he'd been stationed. She found life in London deadly dull. Such friends as she knew were stiff and boring. There was hardly any of the bright life she craved. She wished she was back in India, or anywhere she might have some fun. That was why my appearance in her carriage had been so welcome. She'd spent a preposterously dull evening with her husband's relatives, escorted by the German Otto, whom she found stuffy to a degree.
"Just the sight of a man who looked as though he had some spunk in him was enough for me," says she. "I wouldn't have turned you over to the police, me dear, not if you'd been a murderer, and it was a chance to take down that conceited Prussian muff. Would you believe that a man who looks so splendid could have ice and vinegar in his veins?"
"Who is he?" I asked.
"Otto, or one of these Germans making the grand tour in reverse. Sometimes I think there's a bit of the devil in him, but he keeps it well hid. He behaves so properly because, like all foreigners, he likes to impress the English. Tonight, just to try and breathe some life into that collection of prigs, I offered to show them a Spanish dance. You would have thought I'd said something indecent. They didn't even say, 'Oh, my dear,' just turned their heads to one side, the way these English women do, as though they were going to be sick."
She tossed her head enchantingly, kneeling on the bed like a naked nymph.
"But I saw the glitter in Otto's eyes, just for an instant. I'll be bound he's not supreme among the German wenches at Schönhausen, or wherever it is."
I thought there was too much of Otto, and said so.
"Oh, yes. Are you jealous, then?" says she, sticking out her lip at me. "You've made a bad enemy there, me dear. Or is the famous Captain Flashman careless of enemies?"
"They don't concern me, German, French, or nigger," says I. "I don't think much of your Otto at all."
"Well, you should," says she, teasing, "for he's going to be a great man some day. He told me so. 'I have a destiny,' he said. 'What's that?' I asked him. 'To rule,' says he. So I told him I had ambitions too, to live as I please, love as I please, and never grow old. He didn't think much of that, I fancy. He told me I was frivolous, and would be disappointed. Only the strong, he said, could afford ambitions. So I told him I had a much better motto than that."
"What was that?" says I, reaching out for her, but she caught my hands and held them apart, looking wicked.
"Courage, and shuffle the cards," says she.
"Damn sight better motto than his," says I, pulling her down on top of me, "and I'm a greater man than he is, anyway."
"Prove it, again," said Miss
Rosanna, biting at my chin. And at the cost of more scratches and bruises, I did. That was the beginning of our affair, and a wild, feverish one it was, but it couldn't last long. For one thing, she was so demanding a mistress that she came near to wearing me out, and if she was a novelty, she was one I didn't altogether enjoy. She was too imperious, and I prefer softer women who understand that it is my pleasure that counts. Not with Miss Rosanna, though. She used men. It was like being eaten alive, and God help you if you weren't ready to command. Everything had to be at her whim, and I got sick of it. It was about a week after our first meeting that I finally lost my temper. We had had a tempestuous night, but when I wanted to go to sleep, she had to chatter on, and even a husky Irish voice can get sickening when you've heard too much of it. And seeing me inattentive, she suddenly shouts, "En garde!" which was her war cry before a tumble, and jumped on me again.
"In heaven's name," says I, "get off, I'm tired." "Nobody gets tired of me," she flashed back and started teasing me into action, but I was pegged out and told her to let me alone.
For a moment she persisted, and then she was sulky, and then in an instant she was in a raging fury. And before I knew it, I'd given her the back of my hand, and she was coming at me like a wildcat, screaming and clawing. Now, I've dealt with raging women before, but I'd never met anything like her. She was dangerous, a beautiful, naked savage, flinging everything that came within reach, calling me the foulest names, and, I admit it freely, terrorizing me to the point where I grabbed me clothes and ran for it. "Bastard and coward!" was the least of it, I remember, and a chamber pot smashing on the door jamb as I blundered through. I roared threats at her from the corridor, at which she darted out, white with fury, flourishing a bottle, and I didn't stay for more. One way and another, I probably had more practice in dressing, running, than most men, but this time I didn't bother until I'd got out of shot at the foot of the stairs.